Acts chapter number 8. We're going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to go over our operation occupation and then go into our soul winning demonstration. So, Brother Klein, I'm going to go ahead and have you tape all of this. And the reason I'm doing this is I've had so many folks show interest in this outside of our church. They're wanting to know more about it. They're wanting the information. And so we're going to, of course, put this on our website. And so we'll read the scripture. We're going to pass out some papers. And then we'll get into the launching of Operation Occupation and then a soul winning demonstration. And that won't take a whole lot of time. But boy, it'll be good for us. Amen. Amen. It's always good to see it done. And so Acts chapter number 8, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. If you'll direct your attention to verse number 29 of Acts chapter number 8, Acts 8 verse 29. The Bible says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" And boy, what a question here. And he said, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" Now, folks, listen to me. God didn't have to include us in the process, but he allows us to be included in the process. And you know what? Here's a man wanting to be saved, open-hearted, reading the scriptures, and yet the thing that stood between him and salvation was somebody that would sit down beside him and explain the scriptures to him. Isn't that good? "How can I accept some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be equipped. Help us to be ready. Lord, if the opportunity were afforded us, Lord, I pray that we'd know how, we'd be ready, we'd be prepared. With your help, of course, dear God, and your anointing, to be able to show somebody else how they could know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. Bless this night. May it accomplish great things for eternity, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I get about six or eight of you young men to just make sure everybody gets one of these? We're going to go ahead and pass those out right now. And so scatter around, some in the front, some in the back. Don't try to count them out. Just take a stack and send them down. And we'll get one of these in everybody's hand. We're going to go over just in a few minutes. I want you to have the paper. So we're going to go over our 2019 Operation Occupation. I told the men when we launched this last year, I said to them in the first leaders meeting, I've never done this before, not like this. And this is going to be a learning curve for every single one of us. And I think this year has been wonderful, amazing, profitable. But it also has allowed us to learn a little bit better on how to do it. I hope as we continue to do this year by year that we'll do it a little more efficiently, a little wiser. And I appreciate all the men and their good feedback as we've had these meetings to help us develop what I think will be even a better Operation Occupation this year than last year. The Bible says in Luke 19:12 through 13, He, Jesus, said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." Anybody not receive a paper? Would you raise your hand? All right. There's some coming down that road right there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody got extras? If you have extras, if you'll hold them up. All right. We'll get those from you. Thank you very much, ushers. Great job. Our young people, great job. Thank you for helping me with that. Occupy till I come. Well, occupy is a military term. It literally means to take a possession of a territory. You heard about back in the day, there was occupied France, unoccupied France. The Nazis got part of it. They didn't get all of it. Folks, there's parts of our area that have been occupied, and there's parts that have not been occupied. And what we mean by that is to take that military term, that idea of going out to the highways and byways and delivering the gospel to every single person. We're going to try to accomplish this in 2019 as we relaunch our Operation Occupation. We've divided our Jerusalem area into 20 specific mission fields. One of the things I think is important is if we're going to talk about a Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost, those ought to be clearly defined by each and every church. And so not only do we try to tell you what our Jerusalem is, we've spent a good deal of money on maps so that you can go back and you can see the area that we are claiming that we are going to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I mean by our Jerusalem, our home area. Last year, when this had been about a year and a half ago, when this thought began to percolate in my mind and heart, and I began to feel like the Spirit was, I spent a lot of time in front of our map of our bus routes and praying and thinking and asking God to help me to find some way where we could take the same idea of the bus ministry. There's something about ownership. There's something about being on a bus route that gives you a burden for that area. It causes your prayers to be over that area and breaks your heart for a certain area. And I thought to myself, you know, when I was in Bible college, we went soul winning, and that was good. But I never got a passion and never had my heart broken until I was in the bus ministry. I understand not everybody's going to be in the bus ministry. So how do we accomplish both of these things in a regular soul winning program? And as I begin to look at that map, I begin to think of how many times I've stood behind the pulpit and taught our people that, folks, listen to me, we're all supposed to be a missionary. And I thought, well, if we're all supposed to be a missionary, you know what I always say after that? Missionaries got to have a mission field. And so your family is your mission field. Your neighborhood is your mission field. Where you work is your mission field. And then I got to thinking, well, wait a minute. Why not have a geographical mission field? And so, boy, when that idea began to God began to open my mind to that. I took a highlighter, kind of one of those eraser markers, and I took that old bus ministry map and I had it hanging back here in my office. And boy, I'd draw, then I'd take a rag and wipe it off, and I'd try to figure out different ways that we could do this. And I the more I did it, the more excited I got about it. And I began to realize that the Lord was leading in a very specific way here that would allow us to accomplish something in such a way that I'm not sure, honestly, it's ever been done exactly like this. And so the idea and the goal is to take the gospel to every home. And the way that we do this is we've divided our Jerusalem into 20 specific mission fields. And then I'm asking again this year for 20 men in our church to volunteer to take responsibility to evangelize these mission fields in 2019. We're running our Operation Occupation from March to March. And so it would be starting this month all the way around until March 1st of next year, 2020. And to all of your soul winning efforts and all of your activity and all of your labor would go into a specific mission field. And so I began to write out goals, and we've redone some of these. We streamlined a few things. And let me go through these things tonight as you have the paper in front of you, the first page here on the 11 different things that explains our Operation Occupation. Number one, here's goal number one. We want the gospel delivered to every home. And so if you're a missionary leader in an area, your goal, along with your family and any helpers that you have, is to make sure that we at least deliver the gospel to every single door in your area. Now, we're going to accomplish this two ways this year that's going to help our missionary team a little bit, my missionary leaders a little bit. One of the things that was difficult was when we had within their area, if there was a population of high density population, a city, a town, it was difficult for our mission leaders to get all of that. And so I began to talk to Brother Gordon about this, and we talked more and more throughout the year about how the teenagers, our young people on our Wednesday visitation program, could take responsibility for taking care of the cities and the towns. Of course, we take all of these kids on a bus. We can't do rural areas like that. Imagine taking a busload of teens, driving at a house, have two of them go up. Next, you know, the rule doesn't make sense. But boy, if you can drop them out on where there's a bunch of houses together, they'll go out there and they'll do it. They're high energy. They're good at it. And so our young people will deliver the gospel to cities and towns. And I want you to know that if you choose to become a missions area leader, you will not be responsible for the populated areas. Brother Gordon feels confident that our young people can accomplish this, can get to all of them in a year's time. And so they're going to set that goal. I would say this, that if you cannot work out a time to go visiting and you'd like to go on Wednesday afternoons, I know that that's teen soul winning, but I'll tell you, they could use help. And you might say, you know what, preacher, honestly, that'd be a perfect time for me to just plug in. That would be my weekly soul winning time. You get to go out with the teens and it would give us more adults scattered around, and you could accomplish that door to door in the cities and towns. And besides that, I think you go out to eat afterwards, which you won't if you're in this other thing, unless you choose to, maybe, I don't know. But and so I want you to be open to that we could use some help in that arena. And so our young people, at least our teen soul winning, our Wednesday afternoon soul winning, will take the gospels to the cities and towns. Number two, the operation occupation leader and his helpers, his family, his helpers will concentrate on the rural areas outside of the cities and the towns. Our goal is to provide a personal soul winning visit to each house. Now that's the goal. We want to get out. We want to go up. We want to knock on the door. We want to see if somebody's home. If they're not, then of course we leave the hanger on the door, pack it on the door. But when possible, we want to have a direct contact with that person and a soul winning opportunity. And so that's what we're asking you to consider and asking you to do this year. Number two, keep track of good prospects and new converts and personally follow up on them. One of the great things about going, I loved it, going back to the same area every week, was I always carried just a little spiral notebook. And as I had these good visits, I would jot them down, and bus prospect possibilities, or a teenager that we might be able to come, or just somebody that I didn't have time to witness to, but boy, they were at least open and they were on their way out the door. And then going back to the same area every single week, about every 3 to 4 weeks, I'd pull that out and say, hey, before we go door to door, let's catch up on these people. Let's go back and see these good prospects. Let's follow up on this. And that really allowed us to win people to Christ, follow up on them, build relationships with some people that maybe were saved but not in church. And so that was a huge advantage. Number three, identify people groups within your mission field. One of the things we're going to do differently this year than we did last year is we're not going to try to do the festivals we did this year. And I know some of you really enjoyed that and you got involved in that. But I felt like that we had so many things going that during the summer, when we could have really streamlined this and spent more quality time in our visitation, then we spent a lot of time prepping for that, pulling those things off. I'm not saying we might not do one or two this year in some areas where we really had good success last year, but if we do that, it will be separate from our Operation Occupation Ministry. It'll be another opportunity for people that want to be involved in that. But that will free you up to spend more time on number three, identifying people groups within your mission field. One of the great things about having a mission field is that as you drive through it, as you visit, as you pray, as you look over the map, you'll begin to identify people groups. I've listed some on here. These can include nursing homes or hospitals or senior citizen centers, police stations, fire stations, jails, schools, individual businesses. And you know what? As the Lord lays on your heart, ask yourself the question, how can I get the gospel to these people groups? We're going to have some more extensive training and give you more ideas and resources to do that in our leaders' meetings. And so we're going to focus a lot more on you impacting people groups within your mission field instead of us trying to keep up with as many of the festivals as we did last year. Number four, pray for God to give you one family from your section who joins Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 2019. Wouldn't that be something? Number five, pray for God to give you one teenager from your section who will become a faithful member of our youth group. Number six, coordinate with the bus captain who picks up in your section. Since you're going back to the same area, you've got the map there. Right beside it is the map of the bus routes. Not every area is where a bus route is, but a lot of them are. And so if you do find a good bus prospect. That really helps our bus captains. If you'll drop by and say, hey, I had a good visit. They got kids. They said they'd send them on the bus. That helps build our bus ministry as you're out there in the highways and byways. So coordinate with that bus captain who picks up in your section, number 7, enlist one family in our church to help your family reach your area. I'll talk about this in just a bit. You may not feel like you can become a missionary leader, but you'd be willing to assist another leader, then you'll have that opportunity to sign up for that, and that would be great. Number 8, we need prayer support from those who are unable to personally go. Please sign up to pray. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to do that again. If you are unable to go, then you can still be a part of this by signing up to pray. I just want to say this. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be unkind. But if you're able to go, you don't get out of it by praying for somebody else who's going. Let me just tell you that, okay? I think we're always trying to find some easy way to be a part of something when we really could be more actively involved with it. If you pray and you're able to go and you just won't go, while you're praying, what you're going to hear the Holy Spirit say to you is, hey, you lazy rascal, why are you praying for other people to go out there and knock on doors when you could be going out there and knock on doors? You say, you mean the Holy Spirit sometimes calls people lazy rascals? He's called me that before, and so I'm assuming he's probably done that to you if you've ever met him. Number 9. I was trying to be so nice. I was nice for so long. Number 9. And now, as a leader, you're going to commit to pray. As a helper, you're going to commit to pray daily over the map of your area. Ask God to help you reach your goals. One of the things we didn't do real well, and I figured it out in the last half, it really worked good for me in my sections. We're going to make sure you're equipped from day one with these things. Is we tried to figure out different ways to get people maps of their area. I finally went back there, took my cell phone, and took a picture of my areas real close so I could see the streets. In the whole area, I'd have to take about 3 pictures. I emailed them to my computer, printed them off, put them on a clipboard, and that way, and I took a marker with me, and that way I didn't have to try to remember when I was talking to captains and I talked to leaders, and they'd be back there and they're trying to remember, I don't know, well, let's see, did we do that area? Listen, if you've got to be organized, you've got to mark it. And besides that, that's very exciting, because as you're marking that off, it's encouraging to watch that map and see the progress. And I mean this, we'll have those for every leader, and you won't have to do it, I'll do it for you. And we'll have clipboards sitting back there with the maps on there and a marker attached to it. All you've got to do is carry it in your vehicle with you and keep up on it, and that way you can stay up with it. If you're a leader and you've got a helper, you could divide those maps up and give one to somebody, some with somebody else, or if you go together, you could work on it together, however that works, okay? All right, so please commit to pray over these maps. Boy, I believe in prayer. I believe in prayer. And by the way, if you're going to pray over this, I want you to take it seriously. Let me just take this for a minute, okay? 2018, I should have changed that to 19, your assigned mission field is your personal responsibility. Now, folks, you need that. Whether you know it or not, you need that. In a church our size, it's just easy to just hide amongst the group and just never want anything that you're personally responsible for. Requires you to take personal responsibility. And you know what? The gospel for that area, if they're going to get it, it's going to be you as a leader that gets that accomplished. And so that to me puts a burden on me that I want. You know what Paul said? We've seen it in the Putnam's letter. I would like that. He said, I am debtor. You got to figure that out first. Okay, somebody shared the gospel with you. Well, how do I pay them back? You don't pay them back. You pay it forward. Okay, so somebody shared the gospel with you. That puts you in debt to share the gospel with other people. You don't pay it back. There's no way I can pay back the Purcells. There's no way I can pay back the Evans, Pastor Evans and his dear wife. So how do I pay it back? I pay it forward. They got the gospel to me. I'm going to get the gospel to somebody else. I am debtor. I am ready. We're going to do a soul winning demonstration in a few minutes. I am ready, which means what? That you take a soul winning course. You know what? Philip got into that chariot and he was asked, I want you to put yourself for just a second in Philip's shoes. Tomorrow, you are going about your business. Somebody walks up to you and says, I've been under great conviction. I've been reading the Bible. I'm worried about eternity. Could you take the Bible and show me how I can go to heaven? Would you be ready? He said, I'm debtor, but I'm ready. If God opens the door and gives me opportunity, I can take this New Testament, or I can take this King James Holy Bible, I can open it up and show somebody how they can go to heaven. And then he said, I'm not ashamed. If you think about it, that's the process you have to. Why was Paul such a great soul winner? And why was Paul such a great missionary and church planner? Because he understood he was a debtor. He said, I'm a debtor, I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed. You get that thing going for you, that combination, you know what? God will use you to win people to Christ, get the gospel. Commit to pray. Number 10, a mission-filled leader should make every effort to attend the Operation Occupation bi-monthly meeting. The meetings will be held on Monday evenings at 7 o'clock. They'll be held at Goose Pond Pizza on these dates. And I'm going to double check. I'm going to give those dates to and make sure we'll double check on those, make sure that they're good to go with Sister Darcy and Brother Jeffrey, make sure we can still get that room. There's only one day I had to switch to a Tuesday because that Monday was Labor Day. And so we'll do our first one on March 11th, Lord willing. All right, Brother Young is going to assist me in this Operation Occupation. He's going to coordinate the assembling of the visitation packets, which, folks, thank you so much. We are way ahead on that, and so we'll be good to go for some time. Provide leaders with necessary maps, update the church each Sunday night, and we're going to do that. And I'm so excited. He gets to go through all 20 mission fields again and give us those neat little information and his. You got all that? You saved all that, right? All that research? You didn't. You're going to start over then. I got to do the whole, yeah, dig out some new stuff. Amen. And there we go. You say, preacher, how can I help with Operation Occupation? I want you to take this piece of paper and I want you to fill it out and get it to us. You can hand it to one of the ushers. You can hand it to one of my staff. You can hand it to me. But how can I help with Operation Occupation? I'm going to ask you, if you want to be a part of this ministry, and you can be, to put an X on one of the lines, and this is where we need help, okay? Make sure you put your name on it so I know who it is. We can coordinate this. And number one, we need missions field leaders in 2019. We need mission field leaders. Now, this would be for men. All right, we need mission fields leaders. Now, I understand that not everybody that did it last year is going to be able to do it this year. And what I mean by that is I've stepped in, and we had some bus captains, bless their heart, that volunteered to do this. And honestly, it was just, listen, you can't hardly be a bus captain and be a leader. So for a couple of our guys, I stepped in and said, listen, I want you to concentrate on your bus route. You're doing double duty. And so that means we're going to need some replacements. I'm hoping that most of our mission leaders from last year will agree to do it again. We are going to need some new ones if we're going to have enough. And let me challenge those of you that were helpers last year, okay? Preacher, I just went with somebody that was a mission field leader and helped them. Well, if you've done that for a whole year, I want you to really pray about this idea that God would have you to step out and lead one of these areas this year, and we get you a helper that you can train just like you were trained this last year and run point on this. So you pray about that. I'll be a mission field leader in 2019. Put your name on there, put an X there, and that may be what God wants you to do. Number two, I will volunteer to help a mission field leader in 2019. Now, when I am asking for these men to sign up, I'm assuming that's not just you, but you'd also be willing, if possible, to have your family involved. So I'm not asking for all the kids to fill these out in every family. But I will volunteer to help a mission field leader in 2019. Preach, I don't feel like I could lead one, but I'd be more than happy to assist somebody. And that's always good because we need helpers going out and helping our leaders. Number three, I will volunteer as a lady to visit on a mission field in 2019. Now, ladies, let me explain this. We have ladies that participated last year, and they partnered together, and on a weekly basis, on a regular basis, they went out and helped in some of our mission field areas, and that was a huge help, a huge help. Well, preacher, I don't know who I'd go with. Well, if you'll just mark that you would be willing, We'll meet with the ladies that are willing. We'll see if we can pair you up and coordinate. You may already have a soul winning partner, preacher. I've already decided me and this other lady are going to go. We've got our schedules together. Then that's fine. If you'll mark that volunteer and put the name of the person you've already agreed to go with underneath there, and then we can assign you to a section, or maybe your husband is already involved in this section. We'll work out the details. But if you just say, I'd like to go, I don't know who I'd go with, but I'd be willing to go if we can work it out. If you'll mark that, we'll get you paired up with somebody to go. Now, you may say, I'd go with somebody, but preacher, they'd have to know what they were doing, okay, because I don't know a whole lot about this. This is new to me. We'll make sure we pair you up with somebody that can lead it. And if you can lead one, we may bring somebody to you that could go with you, and that would be good. Hey, folks, this soul winning thing, we ought to always be in the process of training new people to do this. Training new people, that's part of the process. And so we're more than glad to be able to do that. The fourth line says, I will volunteer to pray weekly for a mission field in 2019. That's what those that are unable to visit, if you're unable to visit, if you would mark that down, and then we will assign you an area to visit for and coordinate that with the leader. And then I went ahead and put this in here. I will give X number of dollars to help pay for the packets this year. A dollar pays for four packets. The packets is hard to say. I'll tell you what they are. They're about 22 cents a piece. So I wanted to put five down there, but it doesn't pay for a full five. It pays for a little bit more than four. So if you can help in that, putting the first 10,000 packets together, we spent, along with the cards that the teenagers are going to be using, we spent about $2,600 total on the packets printing, all that we needed to do. And that would be a blessing if somebody wanted to say, you know what, I'd love to just be responsible to pay for 100 of those, or 1,000 of those, or 500 of those, or 50 of those. Well, if a young person came and said, preacher, I'd like to pay for 20 of them to be put on, I'd be a blessing. God bless you. You just don't know what you just paid for and what it might do. So if you already know and you've prayed about this and you could just fill that out tonight before you leave, make sure you get it to either an usher or to one of our staff. That would be good. I'd like to have all of these turned in by next Sunday, So take a week and think about it and pray over it. But let's do this. This, I'm going to tell you something. This thing is something else. I can say without a doubt that a larger percentage of Blessed Hope Baptist Church people were involved in soul winning last year than any other year in the 45-year history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I know that for a fact. I've been overseeing the outreach ministries at this church for 25 years. So I can pretty much know what I'm speaking about there. And I want you to consider that and pray about that. And let's get our hearts ready. Well, Brother Philip was in the middle of a revival meeting in Samaria, and he was seeing unusual things accomplished in Acts chapter number 8. And then God, through the Spirit of the Lord, orchestrated what we call a divine appointment. And what that means is that the Holy Spirit of God, who was indwelling a believer, began to speak to that believer and lead him to a place where the Holy Spirit of God was convicting someone who was not saved. We call these divine appointments. And I've experienced many, many, many of these in my lifetime. It is so exciting to see God put together divine appointments. I had a man ask me this, and he wasn't being insincere and he wasn't being critical, but he said, if you pray every week for divine appointments, then he said, why in the world would you be involved? Why not just wait for the Holy Spirit to lead? And by the way, this is what some people hide behind, to not be involved in door-to-door soul winning. Well, you don't understand. I just am open to the Spirit and I'm Spirit led. And the Spirit would probably tell you and remind you, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm Spirit led, and I don't go involved in any church soul winning, but as the Lord leads me. Now that all sounds good and spiritual, but that's hogwash. Okay. One of the reasons that we need to be involved in a weekly door-to-door systematic delivery of the gospel is because of the Great Commission. The Bible doesn't say just wait and go to only the people that are prepared. It says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's because God wants everybody to receive an opportunity to be saved. That doesn't mean everybody will be saved, but they won't be able to stand before God and say, you never sinned anybody. Not if they live in that circle back there, they won't be able to. Not if we're doing our job there, they shouldn't be able to. And so the reason I'm involved in systematic soul winning is in to fulfill the Great Commission and achieve what I call gospel saturation of our area, where we get the gospel to everyone, whether they take it and curse, whether they take it and rip it up and throw it away, whether they take it and open it up and read it and decline it, whether they read it, get under conviction, but won't get saved, whatever their reaction is, that's on them. I need to make sure that I'm being obedient to the Lord and at least getting the gospel to them. Well, I heard a preacher say this. I've kind of stole it and using it, but he said, one preacher said, I think in these last days we're doing more soul warning than soul winning. But you know what? That's still important. You know, even in Israel's days when their hearts had gotten hard and they were not willing to repent and turn away from their sins and turn back to God, God still sent the prophets to preach to them. And I feel like that we're doing a lot of soul warning, not just soul winning. But in the midst of that, we do experience these divine appointments. And oh, they're exciting and thrilling. And you ought to pray for that every week, that God would do that. And from time to time, you're going to have one of those visits where somebody's heart has been prepared and somebody is willing to at least listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Gordon, Chad Gordon, would you come up? I'm going to give you a soul winning demonstration. And on purpose, I'm not going to stop and teach during it. I've already did most of the teaching, and if I stop constantly and teach, then you're not watching it happen from beginning to end. But I want you to be reminded of some of the things I have taught. Notice what I do and why I do it the way I do it and some of the things that I've taught you to do. Now, folks, listen to me. I'll just tell you this. I go through the soul winning course. I teach an entry-level soul winning program that works. As you begin to soul win yourself, you ought to follow that, but you know what? You'll develop your own style. You'll develop your own. And so please don't have the soul winning presentation out and be grading me on whether or not I'm following everything perfectly or saying everything perfectly, all right? Because I can tell you right now, I won't, all right? But and every visit's different. You know, even once you learn this, you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. But this is a good presentation and a good entry level, and it'll get you started. It'll make you have some confidence and feel capable of taking your Bible and leading somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's ready. Now, what I want to do is, can I get somebody, Brother Josh, could I get you to get me one of the packets from back there that's put together back in the foyer? Because I when I go soul winning, I carry one of the packets, and I want to show you how I do that and have it in my hand, exactly how we use it. And I meant to grab one of those, and I didn't. My better half is not here tonight, and you notice I was a little, the organizational thing, but right before church, I miss her, I will tell you. I made her stay home. She was fighting to come, but her during the evening times is when her temperature's been spiking up, and I could see that was happening, and I'm glad that I have a wife that's arguing with me about coming to church instead of arguing with me about not wanting to come to church, so. That is a blessing, I guess, especially since I'm a pastor. That's also kind of important, you know. And so, amen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to knock on the door, and Brother Gordon's going to come to the door as if we are doing a cold turkey call. This is not somebody that's visited our church. This is not somebody I have any information on. This is not somebody I know a thing about. I'm just knocking on their door, and then we're going to meet him. We'll see what kind of hard case he is, you know, but... No, I hopefully pick somebody that will be willing to receive Jesus, you know. That always helps, you know. But the rest of you say, preacher, what happens when it doesn't go this easy? That's where you learn that when you're just out soul winning. That's why we pair you with somebody that knows what they're doing, because what you're going to see doesn't always happen. But I will tell you this, it happens often enough to make you want to keep going, all right? And so as I would go, I'm not going to have Brother Ron come up here with me, but I would have a soul winning partner with me normally, and I would come and knock on the door like this. I'd take a step back. Hello there. I'm Pastor Jerry Ross, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We've got a little packet of information we want to leave with you. By the way, this is Ron Williams, and he's one of the men in our church out visiting with me. And what's your name?
My name's Chad.
Chad. It's nice to meet you, Chad. Let me ask you, do you get a chance to go to church anywhere?
Just busy with life.
I understand. Totally get it. Yeah, well, let me ask you, were you raised in church?
I was. My parents drug me to church.
All right. Amen. So you went when you were a child.
I did.
That's
just
right.
Work and everything.
Yeah, I understand. Well, you had an advantage I didn't have when I was born. Into my family, my mom and dad did not go to church. They weren't Christians. They weren't believers. And, you know, hardworking people, but just not religious at all. And so for the first several years of my life, we didn't attend church anywhere. But my dad had a job change. He was moved from Greencastle, Indiana to Brazil, Indiana to start working at the old Andacon Aluminum Company. And we moved across the street from some people that were faithfully attending a little Baptist church in the area. And they began to take an interest in it, invite us over. So we began to go to church. And for the first time, and I'll be honest with you, it was like I'd never been in church. It was all brand new to me. And so it took me a while to kind of figure it all out. We started going pretty regularly, and we began to hear the Bible preached, and the Sunday school teacher and children's workers would work with me as a young person. But for the first time in my life, I heard about sin, and I heard about hell, and I heard about heaven. And I heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Chad, it took a while for it all kind of come together. But there was a day when all that I heard kind of began to come together and make sense. And I was in a church service, and the preacher was preaching. And I began to become so convicted about my sin. And that what that means is that God was just bothering my heart about it. I knew I was a sinner. And I thought about that place called hell, and I thought about eternity. And the honest truth is, I didn't know if I was to die where I would end up. So that day, I asked my dad to go up with me, and I knelt down with the preacher, and he took the Bible and opened it up and showed me how I could know 100% sure that I was on my way to heaven. And I'll be honest with you, Chad, when I got off my knees and after I prayed and received Christ, I just can't tell you the difference in my heart. I mean, I just felt like a burden had been lifted. And I used to go to bed and worry about, you know, what would happen if I was to die. I just had the peace of God after that. And can I ask you a question? I think a fair question. If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven, or do you not know that for sure?
No, to be honest, I really don't know that. I wouldn't say I know 100% sure.
Sure.
I would have some doubts.
Well, that's definitely where I was, you know. And I think that's what bothered me. That's what kept me up at night. But when that preacher opened his Bible and said, if I can show you verses so that you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, you know what? Man, I was glad to listen to that. I always carry with me a little New Testament, and I carry it on purpose. And the verses that the preacher showed me that day, I have them marked in my Bible. And I don't know if you'd have just a few minutes for me to share just
a
couple.
I got a few minutes.
All right, show a couple verses with you. But I'm going to basically, Chad, I'm going to show you basically the same verses, or most of the same verses that preacher showed me many years ago. Because the way we get saved, it's the same for everybody. There's four things that you have to know and believe and understand in order to go to heaven. Just four things. The first one is that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says over here in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That word righteous means without sin or perfect. The reason we're not righteous is because for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The more I sat in that church and more I heard the preacher preach about what the Bible says was right and what the Bible says was wrong, the more that God began to deal with my heart, because I realized a lot of the thou shalt nots, I'd done them. And a lot of the things that God said I was supposed to do, I hadn't. And I began to become more and more under conviction about my sin. So the first thing you have to understand is that you're a sinner. The second thing is that there is a penalty attached to that sin. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and here's the word here, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Bible goes on and repeats this over here in a different way in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Now, wages is something that we earn. You know, you go to work, you work a job, you get paid wages. So you've earned that. Well, what we earn because of our sin is death. But when I was having this taught to me and preached to me, this death is not just talking about a physical death where one of these days we die, our bodies die, we go to the funeral home, we're put in a cemetery. The Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, talks about the second death. Look, it says, which is the second death. Well, what is that? It says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, the Bible gives a list of people that are going to suffer this punishment. It says the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I think God listed these sins so that we would understand that no matter what sin we've committed, in God's eyes, he looks at it all the same. Matter of fact, the Bible says in one place that if we're guilty of one point of sin or one sin, we're guilty of it all. In God, there's not good sinners, bad sinners. If we've committed sin, we're a sinner in God's eyes, and we're deserving of this second death. Now think about that. Here I am, a little boy in church, and I'm just hearing this, and I'm being convicted by my sin, and then I'm being taught from the Bible that if I die a physical death because of my sin, if I get what I've earned and what I deserve, not only will I die physically and my body will be put in the ground, but my eternal soul will have to suffer forever in what the Bible describes as the lake of fire. Now, Chad, you know, you've probably been to Shackamack Lake or Lake Sullivan. You've seen that. And, you know, I've stood there before now that I know this, and I've just tried to imagine that lake as I'm looking over it. Instead of having water on it, it's churning and burning with fire and brimstone. And to stand before God and hear God say that for all eternity, that's where I'm going to have to spend all eternity because of my sin. You know, that is the thing that brought the fear of God into my heart, conviction to my heart. And so those are the first two things a man has to understand in his heart. But I want to share with you the rest of this verse, because the Bible does say, for the wages of sin is death. But number three, the third thing, the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So a man has to understand that he's a sinner, and that because of that sin, if he dies in his sins, then he'll suffer death, which includes the second death in the lake of fire. But the Bible then tells us that God wants to give us a gift. Notice the wages is what we earn. A gift is somebody, something somebody gives you because they love you. But the gift of God is eternal life, and that's eternal life in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I've got 10 grandkids, so we've got 10 birthdays every year, and they are in expectation. Grandma and Grandpa's showing up with a present, okay? And you know what? Every time I go to their birthday, we have bought them presents, many presents. We spoil them a little bit. And I hand that gift to them, and I give it to them free. But you know what? It wasn't free to me.
Right.
Me and my wife had to go to the store, and we had to open our wallet. We had to pay for something so that then we could give it as a gift. And the Bible says that the payment is through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, that four words is what really opened my mind and helped me to understand what God had done for me. You see, I should have died. I should die for my sins, and I should have to go forever to the lake of fire because of my sin. But Jesus, God's Son, who has never sinned, volunteered to come to earth. And he was born of a virgin, and he was born in a stable, laid in a manger, and he grew up. And for 33 years, he never sinned one time, because he was not only the Son of God, he was God the Son. And he lived a perfect life, and they put him on the cross and killed him, but he let them do it. He told his disciples that he could have called legions of angels to come and deliver him, but you know what? He came for the purpose of dying for my sin. So Jesus paid for my sins, paid for your sins. paid for the sins of the whole world. And because of his payment, God now can offer us the gift of eternal life. Now that's exciting. Now can you imagine if I went to the store, me and my wife, and we went and purchased those gifts and sacrificed, paid our good hard-earned money, and showed up and held gifts out to our grandchildren, but they decided they didn't want to take it. And Chad, what I want you to imagine is that God is holding down towards you right now the gift of eternal life. But you know what? There's something you have to do. You have to be willing to receive that gift. And this is the last and fourth thing that a person must know and believe and understand in order to go to heaven. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice God says, thou shalt be, not might be. You can be saved. This is how a person is saved. This is how they're saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. It says that you have to confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, in other words, you have to be willing to admit with your mouth, say it out loud, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that you believe that Jesus is God the Son. Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he is?
I do.
All right. And the Bible goes on to say, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Now this is the rest of the gospel. Back in Romans 5:8, we heard that Jesus died for our sins. The Bible says he was buried. 3 days later, Easter Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. So that's why he's able to offer us the gift of eternal life. Now, Chad, when he died, he shed his blood, and that paid for our sins. When he rose again, that he defeated death, and now he can offer to us eternal life in heaven. So Jesus paid for everything. All he asks us to do is be willing to confess that we believe that he is who he said he was, and then to believe in our heart that God, that Jesus died for us, was buried, and rose again the third day. The Bible goes on to say, once a man believes those things in his heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, when I knelt down at that little country church and that preacher showed me these verses, he could explain everything to me, but he couldn't get saved from me.
Right.
All he could do when he got done was look at me and say, Jerry, do you believe that you're a sinner? And I said, yes. Do you understand that if you die in your sins without Christ, that eternity for you is going to be a lake of fire? And I said, yes, sir. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he's who he said he was, and that he died for you, was buried, rose again? Do you believe that in your heart? And very sincerely, I looked at that preacher and said, yes, with all my heart, I believe that. And he said, then all you need to do is reach up and accept and receive that gift that God's been holding out for you. And you do that by calling upon him, by asking God for that gift. Now that day, Chad, I made a decision for me, because I could only make it for me. And I chose that day to bow my head. I prayed something like this, maybe not the exact words, but something like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I know it. And Jesus, you love me and you died for me and you paid for my sins. And I do now receive the gift of eternal life. I want to be saved. I want to be one of your children. Please save me right now. Forgive me of my sins. And you know what? When I prayed that prayer, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, shall be. And that day, God saved my soul. And Chad, you've been very kind to give me time here. You patiently listened to it. And I thank you for that. But I'd like to ask you before I leave, would you be willing right now to receive Jesus as your Savior? Do you believe and do you feel God working in your heart that you ought to do something about what you've heard tonight, today?
I really do. I believe that I've never taken care of that before. I'd like to get that settled today.
Would you mind if I had a word of prayer with you right now?
Yes,
we could just get that settled.
All
right. Heavenly Father, thank you for the few minutes you've allowed me to sit and talk to Chad here. And Lord, I sense a sincerity in him, Lord, as he's listened. As I told him these things, Lord, my heart went back to the day that you saved me, dear God, and I'd be on my way to hell if it wasn't for the fact that you loved me and died for me and saved me, and somebody brought me the gospel. And now Chad, Lord, he's listened. He says that he believes this with all of his heart, and he wants to be saved. Chad, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you'll just pray this prayer with me and just repeat after me, only just don't repeat the words, from your heart, truly pray this to God, he'll save you right now. Just say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I know that I'm a sinner.
I know that I'm a sinner.
Please forgive me of my sin.
Please forgive me of my sin.
I want to be saved right now.
I want to be saved right now.
I accept the gift of eternal life.
I accept the gift of eternal life.
I believe in Jesus and Jesus only for my salvation.
I believe in Jesus and Jesus only for my salvation.
Please save me right now.
Please save me right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you mean that?
Yes, sir, I did.
You shake on it?
Yes, sir.
I want to show you what. Yeah, church has been praying. Amen. So, I want to show you this verse before I leave. The Bible says, for whosoever, by the way, that means anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Chad, it would be doing no harm to the scriptures to be able to put your name right in there, because that says whosoever. Now, did you just call upon the name of the Lord?
Yes, sir, I did.
Did you sincerely mean it and believe these things in your heart?
Yes, sir.
So does God say according to his word that you're saved or you're not saved?
He says, I shall be saved.
Amen. Amen. And I want you to know that. Now listen, I'm going to take down some information. I want to get your address. I want to be able to send you some things. By the way, I'd love for you to come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I'll stop right there. We're going to teach a little bit on follow-up later on. But that basically is a demonstration to show you how to lead somebody to the Lord. Let me have us bow our heads and close our eyes. I've given this demonstration several times, and one of the things that I always want to do after this is to give a salvation invitation. I'm not just teaching you how to be saved. For some of you, during the process of me showing you how to be saved, God began to speak to your heart. And maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me just say this. Everything that you heard tonight came right from the Scriptures. And you know what? God loves you. I know we've got the usual Sunday night crowd, but boy, folks, I don't want to ever take for granted that everybody's saved. And as you watched this demonstration, was the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart? Do you have in your heart the assurance, the Holy Spirit assuring you that you're truly born again? And if not, boy, tonight's a good night to take care of that and to just make sure that you're a child of God. For many others in this room, you are saved. Most of you saved. I hope that as you watch this, something stirred inside of you. Whether you've won somebody to Christ before or you've never have, I pray that you'll let the Holy Spirit of God begin to work in your heart. I hope that you'll begin to pray, God, make me a soul winner. Help me to learn to be a soul winner. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. If you'll start following Christ and you'll start getting involved in this, I'm not saying you'll win somebody to Christ the first time you're out, but he will begin to make you to become a fisher of men. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to have this time and to be able to have this time of demonstration. Lord, I pray that you'll work in all of our hearts. And dear God, that you'll cause us to be more bold. I am deader. I am ready. I am not ashamed. Lord, if we can get those three things solid in our heart, Lord, I believe there's opportunities for everybody in this room in 2019 to win people to Jesus Christ. Lord, bless our invitation time in Jesus' name.